You're listening to the Music Generation Longford podcast, your place to hear news, events and interviews about music in Longford. Hello and welcome to this month's Music Generation Longford podcast. My name is Rachel Masterson and I am delighted to be with you today. Thank you so much to everybody who has been listening in, subscribing and giving us great feedback on each of our podcasts. Every month it's something a little bit different. We bring you news of what we're up to and sometimes we delve deep in interviewing some of our amazing music educators who are delivering brilliant music lessons to children all across Longford every single day. And one such one was in July where we shone the spotlight on our bass music educator, Aidan Gray, and we got such good feedback that I really wanted to revisit that. One music educator I really wanted to shine a spotlight on was our Illan Pipe music educator, Noel Carberry. Every time we post something on our social media about Noel Carberry teaching the Illan Pipes, it explodes. His talent is renowned and I know we are really lucky here in Longford to have Noel teaching a whole new generation of Illan Pipers. Noel, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Not so bad at all, Rachel. Great. Yeah.
Noel, great. I don't know if you are aware that anytime Music Generation Longford posts anything on their social media about you teaching the Illan Pipes, it absolutely explodes. You're famous.
Oh, right. Okay. Very good.
We always get brilliant comments and feedback about what a talented Illan Piper you are. We know we're very, very lucky to have you here in Longford.
No, I must pay these people off now when I see them.
Oh, well, I know I was lucky enough to get to see you as part of the Cruachan Arts Festival on the Sunday night, and it was brilliant. You're a real showman.
Well, you know, you have to try and fool some of the people, it was a very enjoyable gig. It was indeed. I had great help though on the night as well.
You were conducting the whole thing. You were like the ringmaster of the whole lot. What I enjoyed the most, all the musicians were very talented, but it's the chat and the banter that you have around it. It's so important in terms of holding the audience's attention.
And I'm winging a prayer at times, but I think it's important anyway to engage the audience and, at least try and show the audience if you're enjoying yourself, maybe it is more distance or maybe it can be fun, Yeah.
It goes back to that whole Irish thing. We love the chat. I was at concerts in Germany before and it's all just very quiet. Audience very quiet, they're just there to listen to the music, the bands just play the music, and it really struck me that Irish people love having the crack at the gigs, and the chat and the banter is such a big part of it.
Well, it is, surely, and I suppose isn't that why, I suppose a lot of the Continentals really love the Irish scene, I think it's our character, it's what brings people to the country, really,
Absolutely, you're right. People do flock here for that element. And so going back in your own life, what's your earliest memory of listening to or even playing music?
Well, I suppose the earliest memories for me is growing up in my home place in Durrahan. And my father was Peter Carberry, the Illan Piper, and of course the Lushans came to the house great musicians like Jimmy Hanley from Newtown Castle. Jimmy was an uncle of James and Sean Kane, the great musician. Sean, who played with the Chieftains. And we had Patsy Hanley and Dan Kelly, Larry Kelly. Great local musicians. And I grew up with this, And when you look back now, it's amazing, the music that was there, and old recordings are still to be had, we can rummage through the tapes and stuff, but it was amazing. And the memories you have, from your childhood, they stay with you, really, you can picture them, to this day, really, yeah.
I'm getting the shivers listening to that. It's such fantastic memories and such a rich childhood to have such culture right in your home. It's not something I ever had, but I know in, like in a, you know, I grew up in the 90s and not too far off yourself, Noel. And the like I suppose the music scene that my parents say listen to, I got a lot of richness from that, but it was all overseas music. I think there's a real joy, and it's maybe something that we don't have too much anymore, is to have that music in the home place and to have the Ceilidhs and to have the neighbours over. And listening to you speak about that, I can envision it. I think it's lovely, and it's something that maybe we need to reignite or something.
Well, absolutely. And I suppose in one way, lockdown did maybe, I suppose, reignite some of that, when various venues were shut or whatever, and there was some easing of restrictions that people did meet up in the houses then, and have the few tunes. So I suppose that it awakened people to, what we were, I suppose, forgetting about. And it's an amazing time for reflection, I suppose, to a lot of people as well, and just realize what we have, and and as you said, meeting in the homes, it's brilliant,
It is absolutely. I know myself, even around where I live, I got chatting to my neighbours more in the last year and a half than in the 3 years previous to living here. And it opened my eyes to just the lovely people that live around me, and to have that is something really special. But going back then, like, so you would have been a young lad growing up around all of this. What was the attraction to you? Why did you say, "This is for me, I want to start playing," or did you have a choice?
Well, very good. Yeah, absolutely spot on there, right? No, I didn't really have a choice at the end of the day. Well, I was the youngest of six, and it was a case of, my father was getting closer to retirement. He worked with Bord na Móna for over 40 years or so. But it was a case that he was getting more time to put the hammers on me to maybe take up an instrument, So he started me off on tin whistle. And look, it was a chore, like every other chore that a kid gets to do. It was like homework. It was like, it was a chore to do it, But he stuck with me, and it was basically, he sat in front of me, and I looked at his fingers moving on the tin whistle. He showed me, we didn't have the written music. He didn't read music, but it was just by ear that I learned, and by looking at his fingers on and he moving them on the whistle. And he started me off with a few simpler tunes, and that was it. But really, my love of the music then didn't really take off until I was in my teens,
That's amazing. I suppose, like any young lad, like you said, if you're made to do something, it becomes like homework, and you might not be all that interested. But what was it then in your teens that ignited that love? Was it any instrument in particular, or any moment that you said, "Yeah, this is for me"?
Well, this is it, because I was I suppose not, you wouldn't say a difficult teen, but I suppose I had my moments, But my father realized, he said to me, he says, "You're not listening to me." He says, "Maybe you'll listen to some other teacher." And at that, then he decided to book me into classes at the Willie Clancy Summer School, which takes place in Milltown Malbay every year,
I'm
in
familiar with
July.
it. Wow, incredible.
Yeah. So I went along anyway. I said, "Look, here, we'll give it a go anyway, And it was amazing, yeah, because I met not only people of my own age, but people older than me, and I could see I had the ability then, the class I was in, and I had a great teacher called Nollaig McCarty, a great teacher from Dublin, and that really got me going then. Then I appreciated then what my father really was trying to do then. So then, he saw that the flame was ignited anyway, so it took off from there, really. So we played more in the house together then, you know, I'd say, do you play this tune? You know, so he was delighted, you know, that, you know, he got it going, you know.
Wonderful bonding there and all. It's where it's something, if the music wasn't such a big part of your lives, you might not have had such a great relationship with your dad. It's such a lucky thing, or a lovely thing, that you were able to bond over and play together. You'll have memories of that forever now.
Well, that's absolutely, that's for sure, you know. And no, it was exactly that's what made it bond so well together, you know. Like, so yeah, you were nearly like two brothers at times then, you know, except when you got out of hand, you know.
Or you didn't practice.
yeah. No, the practice wasn't so much the bother then, you know. But he was trying to guide me through life then, you know, and, you know, set up the various warning signs there and maybe tell me what's ahead, you know. And, no, we could speak more openly then, I suppose, you know. So that was the great thing about it, really, you know.
What a blessing. Wow. Getting that, kind of fatherly advice, but all through music, so nothing was ever too serious. There was never that serious sit-down chat.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And when all of this was going on, you're down at the summer school, or you're playing at home with your father, did you ever envision a future in this, or was it all just a bit of fun?
Irish was all a bit of fun, really. And I suppose, you know, it was then meeting other musicians, getting into the scene. Like, I remember years ago, we used to do this. It was traditional music entertainment that was set up for visitors to the country during the summertime. It was called Sessual. And I remember we had a show the old schoolhouse in Clondra, and you know, your summer evenings were taken up by doing this. And I suppose, in a way, you know, it restricted you from going other places you wanted to go. But you know, there was a couple of quid at the end of the summer for you then, you know. And you know, we would, well, you gotta be you wish then after that, you know. So it was a great introduction, really, you know, and into the, I suppose, the entertaining side of the music itself, you know, and seeing people from the various countries that would, say, be on the boats on at the harbour in Clondra. They used to come up to the session and really enjoy it. And I remember Father Quinn, based in Ainsworth at the time, he was the manager of the event, and he used to ask people from various countries to do their party piece or whatever. So it was great, you know, introduction to the whole worldwide scene of music, I suppose, you know.
I'd say getting a few pound at the end wasn't too bad either, when you think, Jesus, there's money to be made in this, I might keep this up.
Well, this is it, you know. And and then, you know, at the, I think it was the October bank holiday weekend, all the session groups from all over the country would congregate in a given town. It was Turles one year, Dungarvan another year. So you were put up in a hotel, and you know, you had great fun, you know. And I used to go missing every now and again, you know, as well. So
I'd say there's stories you can't repeat too, Noel.
Well, that's true, yeah, absolutely. When the book comes out.
A bestseller, I'm sure. And what age were you when you were carting off around the country getting free hotels, playing with other people?
Well, I suppose you were 16, 17, a dangerous sort of an age, in a way, you know. But I met great friends, you know, and I suppose still to this day, you know, you have the memories then of the development we get up to, various things, you know. And it was great crack, like, you know, mighty, yeah.
There's a great community in music, and you can make friends so easily, and it is, like you said, it's a friendship that never dies. You might not see someone for 20 years and then you'd pick up playing music like it was the day before.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And that's the great thing about, I suppose, about the flats or the festivals, like, you know. And I suppose, you know, it's so easy now because of technology and mobile phones and whatever, but you know, at that time, it was just by chance who would be a met sometimes, and then, you know, at the plaza and whatever, and you'd strike up new friendships, and, you know, you'd meet the older, maybe sometimes you wouldn't meet friends until maybe the last day, you know, but you had, now you had great fun, like, you know, it's amazing, you know, when you stop to think, you know, and it's amazing because, you know, speaking with yourself now, it's bringing back floods of memories there, and it's all great fun, you know.
I'm telling you, there's a book there somewhere.
Yeah, but it passes the censorship laws anyway, yeah.
You mentioned technology there and how much easier it is now. A lot of people would say, like, social media would make people less likely to meet up in person, like, pandemic aside. When you mentioned there was a chance that you'd just meet up with people and make friends, would that still happen now, or are people more inclined to stick to their phones?
Well, actually, look, I suppose at the end of the day, human beings, they love company, like, you know, and you can only look at a screen for a certain amount of time, like, you know, but no, I think the music scene, it's a folk music, it's to be shared, and it's not only, as you say, the music, like, you know, even performances or whatever, but it's the fun you have, it's the jokes, it's the banter, you know, when you meet up in person, you know, and oftentimes it's so difficult to get us to sit down and play a tune at the start, you know, so many stories and yarns going around, you know, and it's a great social event, really, you know, so I think technology will never really damage that, you know, we'll always have the company and the, you know, the want to get out and meet up with other musicians and that, you know.
It's definitely encouraging to hear, and especially for maybe young people listening in who are just starting to learn their instruments, or even, you know, sports is a great outlet as well. You often hear, you know, that people giving out maybe that, you know, young people, they're always behind their screens or they're only interested in their video games. But I don't think that's very true. And we can see that, especially with the young people who are joining up with Music Generation. There is the want there, like you said, to be part of something and to be part of a tribe and a community and to make friends that, say, maybe aren't even in your own school. It opens up a whole new world in getting involved in these music lessons.
Oh, it does, absolutely. Like, you know, and like, I think kids today, they're amazing, you know, because, you know, if we had the technology years ago, sure, God, we'd just be the same, you know. It's what an era you grow up in, like, it's, you know. So I think, you know, the kids today and the ability that they have, you know, they don't realize how good they are, really, you know. And they're great fun too, you know.
Definitely. I know every young person that we have met through our own classes has been amazing, really interested, really engaged, and a lot of fun. So it's brilliant to be involved in. Can you remember, or where was your first ever gig? What age were you and where was it?
No. We're going back to the history books now. My first gig, well, I was just thinking about that, you know. I suppose my first performance in public is, well, when you think of national school, and there wasn't much chance to have fun, but you always had the Christmas concert sort of thing, you know. And in national school, if you can imagine, I suppose the closest thing to Oliver Twist would have been involved in at the time. But, you know, we took our chances when we had our Christmas concert. We got up and we did our little bit anyway, you know. So I was playing the timpani and we a couple of tunes anyway, practiced anyway. And that's my first memory of, I suppose, a public performance as such. You know? And it was great. And I suppose the relief at getting through the tune without a mistake. And then, you know, the applause at the end of it and the cheering, sure, look, yeah, you thought you were great, you know. But that was it. And then I suppose the first paid gig, as I said, was the session performances in Clondra and the old schoolhouse during the summers then. So I was about, what, maybe about, what, 10, 12, whatever. that when I started playing in the session, summer entertainment, yeah.
Fantastic. So it all planted a seed there for what was to come.
It did indeed, surely, yeah.
And what about around the world? So from Clondra to the globe, where else have you performed?
God, it was amazing. I was involved in various groups over the years, and I suppose when it was starting off with Coltis, we did a tour of Ireland first, and of course my father was on that tour with me as well, and you had Patsy Handy and you had Desi O'Halloran, you had all great characters, you know, and I was only a young fella, like, you know, well, it was what, about 17, 18, was 17 I'd say, maybe at the time, and so my father was still keeping an eye on me, you know. And so that was tour of Ireland. So we went around nearly all the counties at the time. Then there was a tour of Britain after that. That was 1986 or something like that. Yeah, 1986. And then from that, the next year then it was a tour of the States. So we had, I think it was something like 19 cities we did in 5 weeks. And that was some experience. And I was on my own for that one, like, you know, nobody keeping an eye on me there. So, yeah, we had great fun there. But look, I've been around with different groups then. I suppose the far-flung places, like, I suppose Taiwan, Iraq, Uganda, Hong Kong. Yeah, they're the Lebanon, of course, as well. Yeah, they're the memories and the we have from there as well, you know, great friends, you know. So it's a few places I got out to anyway, yeah.
Wow, from Darahan to Taiwan, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I'd say it was some experience and quite a learning and development for yourself as well. To your eyes would be so open to other cultures and really how lucky we are here in Ireland.
Well, absolutely, like, you know, yeah. You know, I was in Iraq. What was it? It was a St. Patrick's Day junket, as we call it. It was great. It's always to get the trips away on St. Patrick's weekend, you know. But this was before the first Gulf War. And, you know, it's the images of going. We were brought out on a day trip out to, it was like a big fortress out in the middle of the desert, you could say, you know. It was like if you could picture the black and white films where you had the Foreign Legion and they were out in a fortress in the middle of the desert. And so we were right out to this. It dated back to maybe the 1600s, 1700s. You know, it was a relatively recent thing when you think of history as such. But when you see the maneuvers of the aircraft flying around and you have, you know, all these maneuvers and lorries carrying these missiles on the back. And, you know, I remember one time speaking to one of the doctors from the park hospital that was set up by the Irish doctors in Iraq itself, and he was saying there's so much activity taking place, there's going to be some sort of a war going to break out. They were thinking it was going to be with Israel at the time, but then several months later then into Kuwait. So yeah, it's amazing to see some of this, you know. So yeah, this was one of the trips anyway, you know.
Wow, I keep coming back to that book. you could have a series at this rate. So looking back now, if you were to give your younger self any advice, what would it be?
I suppose it would be to spend more time speaking with the older musicians. I suppose get their stories, you know, record their tunes, you know, their favorite tunes or whatever, and maybe the stories behind them. But of course, you know, when you're young, you don't think of this, you know, it's just, you know, you take it for granted, you know, like as if, you know, these people are always going to be there. And as we know, it's not the case. So, yeah, listen to the older recordings of the great masters of whatever instrument that you choose. And that's why you say the likes of the internet, YouTube, is amazing to have now that you can look back and at some of these master musicians, you know.
It is amazing to have such access to everything, but that is really, really good advice, because it would be a dying art form otherwise if we didn't preserve it in some way.
Well, absolutely, like, you know, and as would have been the case with the Eland Pipes only in 1968, a group of interested people, you know, with their interest in the Eland Pipes, got together, and it was in Bettystown in 1968 that they decided to form Napeebri Eland, and that's what saved, I suppose, the Eland Pipes from, I suppose, disappearing altogether, really. You know, I think there was only, at that time, there was only two full-time makers in the country, you know, whereas now, yeah, people all over the world making Eland Pipes and playing Eland Pipes, you know.
Eland Pipes in particular, they seem to be popular with young lads rather than the girls. Well, I only know that from our own lessons here. I could be completely wrong, but what would you say to encourage girls, but young people in general, to take on this traditional instrument?
Well, you know, yeah, it I suppose it was male dominated for many years, and I suppose it was a case of when, I suppose, the Eland Pipes came into being, that it was what, in the 1700s. So it was a case of, you know, women had their place, and, you know, it was a male dominated, you know, society, and thank God that's changing. But it's amazing now the amount of, and this is why you say the internet is such a great source, that if you just put in on YouTube, you know, women Eland Pipers and what, you know, comes up, it's amazing. Great ability, like, and, you know, it's a lovely instrument too, you know, and I suppose it looks to be a big, awkward sort of an instrument to play, but it's just that you get in at the start, you get the practice head, which is only the chanter and the bellows and the bag, and then you can start from there, you know. And that's the great thing with music generation. It gives people the chance to try the instrument, you know. So, you know, there's a loan scheme, of course, with music generation and the people reeling together. They give people the chance to try out the instrument before you commit to spending a lot of money on an instrument and that as well. But no, I'd encourage the ladies to play or give it a go. I'd love in the future to see, I suppose, the Bishop of Ireland, Clonmacnoise, and she out there playing the pipes before the Easter ceremonies or something like that.
Brilliant. You know? Love it. that's forward thinking right there.
Aye.
What would you say to any young person out there that might be even thinking about or just starting out on their music journey? Maybe they haven't started yet, or they're just at their first couple of lessons. And what advice would you give them?
Well, I suppose speak to people in music generation. You know, whatever questions you'd have, there's always somebody there to help you, steer you in the right direction. They'll put you in touch with a teacher that, you know, will advise you to the best, you know. And I suppose the thing about it is, as well, is to get the best instrument you can at the beginning. Like, because sometimes you can be blaming yourself, you know, for not getting the right sounds and whatever, but it may not be your fault at all. It could be the fault of the instrument itself, you know. So that's why it's great to have a teacher that can advise it. If the teacher didn't know, they always know somebody that can, you know, repair or whatever. So it's great to have music generation there to, I suppose, steer people in the right direction. So any questions that anybody would have at any style or genre of music is to get in touch with the music generation, and they will set you on the right path, you know.
There's definitely so much there. Like you mentioned, the instrument rental scheme is there, so people don't have to be out of pocket. The lessons are very affordable. And no matter what instrument you want to learn, we have some amazing music educators. We really have the best bunch that I can see. Everybody is amazing, and there's such knowledge there. So to utilize that, and like you said, ask the questions and learn from people who have made all the mistakes before.
Well, absolutely. That's so true indeed. Absolutely. That's what comes with age, I suppose. So that's why I'd be encouraging, I suppose, younger people to interview the older musicians and as well. It'll save them, making the same mistakes, Absolutely, Rachel.
Brilliant. And to not be afraid of making mistakes is a way of learning, and once you don't keep making the same mistakes, you're progressing and you're
Absolutely.
learning.
And don't be afraid to try different instruments, you could spend maybe years playing an instrument, then you decide, well, that's not for me. Sure, it happens in people's employment and professions and that as well. So after so many years, people can decide, I'm in the wrong place, and they just do what they want to do. As I say, life is short, so get out and enjoy it and do everything you see possible,
Brilliant. On that note, Noel, thank you so much. Such a great piece of advice to end on. Life is short, so just get out and enjoy it. Look, thanks a million. It's a pleasure.
Rachel, pleasure talking to you,
And it's definitely our pleasure in Music Generation Longford to have you on our panel. So thanks so much for all that you do.
You're very welcome, Rachel. Thank you.
A massive thank you to Noel for coming on the show this month. And you can listen back to any of our shows by subscribing to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And we can be found on Audioboom by searching for Music Generation Longford. That is it for this month. Thank you so much for joining me. If you would like any information on any of our classes, including learning the Illan Pipes with Noel Carberry, you can contact us on Music Generation Longford at lwetb.ie. Thank you so much. I wanna go where the lights say my name. Waste a tale and just like mine is such a crying shame. And I hate to say I told you so, but you know I'm right. So go and tell